beyond the river, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Bring your Bible back, brother. Praise the Lord. It was a commissioned choir. Hallelujah. Commissioned men's choir. There we go. So, Brother Bennett, you come and preach to us. It's Wednesday night. We're used to be in church, so you can keep us here till dark if you want.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Still haven't got air conditioning.
We do. I haven't turned it on.
Oh, I see. Well, I can help you in that matter if you want. Now, 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll get into the Word of God tonight and find out what the Lord has for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's right after 1 Corinthians. Amen. You're welcome. Just try to be a help to folks. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Amen. And look down here, if you will. Scroll your finger down to verse 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." We want to look at those words, the God of all comfort. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together in your house. Lord, we think about the many churches that are having meetings tonight. We think about our home church and the Wednesday evening service. I pray that you'd bless there. Pray that you'd bless all the revival meetings that are going on around the land. Pray that you'd anoint the preacher and help him to preach those things that you'd have him to preach tonight. Lord, I pray that right now that the Holy Spirit of God would do a mighty work right here in our midst. Pray you'd use this old preacher one more time. And as your word goes forth, Lord, I pray that it'll penetrate hearts and that decisions will be made for the honor and glory of Christ. We pray it in Jesus' precious, holy, and wonderful name. Amen. The God of all comfort. Stress the word all. If you haven't already done it, you should probably underline that word all in the Bible, Bill. God of all comfort. I've talked so often about the problems and cares of life. And, you know, just because we're saved doesn't mean that we miss out on the problems of life or avoid the problems of life. I've heard people say to folks, now that you're saved, all your problems are over. That's a lie of the devil. That's not true. There's a lot of problems we face in life. And so to say that is a lie. But there are so many problems that we face, and they become a setback in our life. And they can disable us, and they can hurt us. There's health problems, and people problems, and church problems, and car problems, and financial problems, job problems, and neighbor problems. You just name it. There's all kinds of problems. You can go on and on with all the different problems that we face. And they're a part of life. And by the way, you're never going to get away from all the problems in life, no matter how many laws the government comes up with. There's always going to be problems in life. And by the way, these problems never seem to come at a convenient time. I mean, they're always inconvenient. And then Paul has the audacity to say that all of it is our light affliction over there in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. You know, our granddaughter just turned 17 years old on February 1st. And she got for a birthday present a diagnosis from the doctor, that she has MS. And we shortly after that spent a whole week up in the hospital in Iowa City, University Hospital, with her. And poor little girl, she just a sweetheart. She loves life. She's very artistic. She paints and she plays the piano. Amen. We could have brought her and played the piano. She works at Starbucks, and you couldn't find a more excited person than her to sell coffee. She's high on coffee, I think. But she got this news that she's got MS, and we were up at the hospital with her, and we spent every day with her. And I remember she laid there in bed, and the tears were coming down her cheeks, and she said, "I just need a hug." Folks, I want you to understand something. That takes it out of a grandpa and a grandma. "I just need a hug." You know what? All of us need some comfort every now and then, don't we? And we have a God of all comfort. He's always there. That God can take care of any problem that we have in our life, any circumstance. No matter what's going on in our life, He's capable, and He cares. We sing the song, "Does Jesus care?" Oh, yes, He cares. He cares. He loves us that much. He cares for all the things that we go through. I want to think about this tonight, and I'll preach quick. It probably won't be too dark when we get done, but I want you to think about this. The God of all comfort is a triune God. He's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all of them are the God of all comfort. Now, that word "all," interestingly, is a three-letter word. Amen? So, you think about that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are involved in this comfort business. And, you know, through the years, I've been at this business now for 40-some years, while pastoring, I've had many funerals, and so many times I think that, you know, I'm there to provide comfort. Well, really, the pastor isn't there to provide comfort, but boy, there's times that you just want to reach out and do something for these folks and in such a way, because they're hurting so deeply. But there's nothing that I can do as a human being that I can't replace God. The God of all comfort is the one that has to provide the real comfort. And the God of all comfort has to be there, regardless of how many times I've been through something. You know, I can provide some insight on what they're going through because I've been through it personally. Now, there's things that I haven't been through, but you have, and you can provide some insight and comfort in those areas. But nobody can provide comfort like God. I remember one time some years ago, I was out in Nebraska, and I was in a motel room all by myself, and I just talked to my wife on the phone, and I hung up, and I'm laying there in bed and looking at the ceiling, and I got lonely. You ever just get homesick? And I got homesick, and there I was laying in bed, and I'm thinking to myself, what's the purpose in it all? I don't understand this. It seems like I'm always on the road. It seems like the people don't really care. You go to a church and they kind of sit there and there'll be one person out, "Amen." And then the rest of the people there, as soon as that final "Amen," they're out the door. And you know, somebody might smack you on the back and say, "Good sermon," or something. They didn't mean it. They just wanted to say something. What's the purpose in it all? And then all of a sudden, the Lord comes along, and He has a way of patting you on the head and scratching behind the ears and saying, "There's a purpose. I love you. Just keep at it. Keep going." I want to show you tonight the comfort that comes from the triune God. The triune God. Now, number one, if you're taking notes, and number one, if you're going to send it by way of Facebook, Roman numeral 1, God the Father. God the Father. Look, if you will, over here in the book of Deuteronomy, clear up in the front part of your Bible, and notice what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. It says down here in verse 27 of Deuteronomy chapter 33, and it says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." The everlasting arms. I first went into the ministry so many years ago, and I was pastoring a little bitty church, and the piano player was about 116 years old, and she played in slow motion. I'll never forget how she played that piano. But I used to sing every Sunday. I'd sing "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." And one day she took me aside and she says, "Pastor, please, let's sing something different. You're going to wear out the everlasting arms." I guarantee you, I can't wear out the everlasting arms. For underneath are the everlasting arms. The everlasting arms that my granddaughter needed that day in the hospital. "I just need a hug." Listen, those everlasting arms are right there to grab her and take her and hug her. God the Father is the God, the eternal God that's being talked about here. He is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He's the God of all comfort. Look, if you will, back here in the book of Romans. I want to show you something, and like I said, I'm going to preach quick. But I've been dishonest before. So notice here in Romans chapter 4, this God of all comfort, the God of the with the everlasting arms, the God that would love to embrace all of us. He's the God that makes promises. Now, if you'll remember back there in the book of Genesis, Abraham had a relationship with God. And God made a promise to Abraham. He said, "Abraham, I'm going to give you a son." And Abraham was probably about 70 years old when that promise was made to him the first time. Now, I don't know about you, but 70 years old sounds younger all the time to me. But it's getting up there in years, amen. And the fact of the matter is that he, at the age of 75, and you know, 70 to 75 years old, this promise is made unto him, and it was made to him more than once. You know what? It says here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, this is talking about Abraham and that promise that was made to him. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Now, do you realize that it was another 25 years before that son came into the world? Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac came into the world. But it says here, he staggered not. Listen, the God that has the everlasting arms, the God of all comfort, He has made us promises throughout the Word of God. And you can be like Abraham. You don't have to stagger at the promises, because those promises are there. And He will keep every one, because our God cannot lie.
Amen.
He makes those promises and He cannot lie. He's an honest God. Look, if you will, here in verse 21. It says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." He was what? Fully persuaded. He made the promise and he's going to perform. And it certainly did. And Isaac was born. But my God, the one with those everlasting arms, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." But my God, my God that has those arms, and we can sing that every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night, and throughout the revival, those everlasting arms will never wear out, because they're the arms of the eternal God, and He is all comfort. You know what it said over there in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27? It said, "Eternal God." In other words, God the Father will be with you always. It's an eternal promise that He will never leave you. Folks, I love that. Those everlasting arms are there to catch us. Those everlasting arms are there to hold us. Those everlasting arms are there to get us through every trial, every problem that we have. Those everlasting arms. Listen, you may think that God has forsaken you, but He's not forsaken you. God is always there. He's the eternal God, and He's the God of all comfort. I have God the Father on my side. How about you?
Amen.
You've placed your trust in Jesus. You've got God the Father on your side. Number two, if you're taking notes, and if you're going to put it on Facebook, number two, God the Son. God the Son. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is God the Son? Look, if you will, over here in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew, chapter 8. Notice what it says over here. I love this passage of Scripture, and actually I love it every time it's in the Word of God. It's in Mark, chapter 4. It's in Luke, chapter 8 also. But this passage of Scripture is when He calms the storm. Now I want you to look down here in verse 23, and we'll read to verse 27. It says, "And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him." The He is Jesus. "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, Why are ye so fearful, or why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Can you imagine? And He stood and rebuked the storm, and there was a calm. I bet they could look out over that sea and not even see a ripple. It was that calm. Can you imagine having the power to do that? Well, look at their response here. Look at verse 27. "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" Folks, I want you to understand something. God the Son, that's Jesus Christ, is the master of the storm. He's the master of the storm. How many storms you been through? How many storms you going through? How many storms will you go through? We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's coming next week. We don't know the storms that are brewing right now. We don't know the problems that we're going to face. But we know that there's storms ahead of us. That comes because we're human beings and we live life. There's storms ahead of us. Listen, back in February, we were celebrating a birthday with our 17-year-old granddaughter. We had no idea that she was going to be diagnosed with MS. We had no idea that she was going to have, later down the road, have to take shots all week long. And those shots would cause her to become very moody. And her personality changes completely because of the shots they give her. We didn't know that. We didn't know that we'd have to change our diet just to... because she had to change her diet. And we didn't know all those things. We didn't know the problems that were coming. We're just celebrating a 17-year-old girl's birthday. We're just having a good time. But what was the storm that was coming? Folks, we don't know what the storm is in our lives. We don't know what's going to happen next. I'll never forget the day that my wife got up and lost her consciousness and fell, and we had to rush her to the hospital. We had no idea what the problem was, and as we rushed her to the hospital, we found out that she had a tumor. It was the size of a cantaloupe that they had to actually remove. And folks, I want you to understand, that wasn't even our thought process. We had made plans that day. We knew that everything was going to be all right, but it wasn't. There was a storm brewing. And you know what we needed? We needed the master of the storm to step in and calm the storm. That doesn't take all the problems away, but I want to tell you something, the master's there, and he'll calm the storm. Look, if you will, over here in the book of John. I'd like to show you something, and then we'll move on quickly. But here in John chapter 1, I want to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you how John introduced Jesus. Look here in verse 14 of John chapter 1. And the Word, that's Jesus, by the way, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now notice what John says through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Look down in here. As we continue, look down in verse 16 and 17. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, the master of the storm is the one that dispenses grace. The master of the storm is the one that His grace is sufficient to get us through the storms of life. You remember the apostle Paul had the thorn in the flesh. Said he prayed three times. My paraphrase, he prayed three times, and God didn't answer his prayer. But he gave back an answer. And the answer was this: My grace is sufficient for you. Now, where did that grace come from? I'm glad you asked. Look, if you will, in the book of 2 Corinthians. I'll show you where that grace came from. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I got it written down. I couldn't find it, but it's there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice what it says down here. Down in verse 7 it says, verse 8, for this thing, the thorn in the flesh, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, verse 9, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, the master of the storm, rest upon me. Oh, the master of the storm's not in there, but it could be, because He's the master of the storm. Folks, I want you to understand something. The master of the storm, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Matter of fact, I want you to go over there. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. It tells us that He would never leave us nor forsake us. That means that He's always going to be there. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Now remember, God the Father has those everlasting arms. Those are the eternal everlasting arms. He will always be there. Now God the Son, who's the master of the storm, He's promised to always be there. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, that He is Jesus, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. No matter the storms I go through, I'll have no fear. Why? Because the Lord is my helper. And He's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Wow. I don't know about you, but it gets gooder and gooder. This is the best it can get. God is always there. God the Father with His everlasting arms to carry us through. God the Son, the master of the storm, will calm the storm. And His grace is sufficient to carry us through. Now, number three, for those of you that are putting it on Facebook, God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Look back here, if you will, in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And notice what it says here in chapter 14. Chapter 14. Look down here in verses 16 and 17. This is Jesus talking here in John 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Comforter. Think about this. God the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, the God of all comfort. You have the Father with his everlasting arms. They're eternal. You have the Son, who's the master of the storm, the dispenser of grace. And he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, who's called the Comforter. And by the way, we'll get into the fact that he's eternal too. But the fact is that the Comforter, that word carries a lot of meaning. It means he's our counselor. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's the one that strengthens us. And so many more things. But those are the ones that we just want to dwell on for a second. I like that one. He's our helper. And he's our intercessor. Matter of fact, look if you will. Hold your finger there in John. We might come back to that. Look back in the book of Romans. And notice what it says here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, down in verse 26. Says, likewise, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our, what's that next word? Infirmities. Listen, the trials and the tribulations, the sicknesses and all the problems that we have, that's our infirmities. Do you realize that those infirmities that we have keep us from being able to pray properly? Many times, because of the things we're going through, our prayers become selfish. The only thing we can think of is ourselves. And we become so selfish, we forget there's other people to pray for. But the Holy Spirit of God steps in and helps our infirmity. Notice what it says here. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Why? Well, we're going through problems. We're human beings. We're limited. We're frail. We've already talked about how frail we are this week. We're frail. And the older we get, the more closely we come to the reality of how frail we are. Some people are very fortunate to go quite into their old age and not be sick or not be have problems and so on and so forth. But most people aren't that fortunate. And it's called the evil days, if you'll remember, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. But the fact of the matter is this, that's our infirmities. But yet the Spirit steps in. Notice what the Spirit does. We don't know how we pray, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit. Have you ever asked the Spirit to pray for you? Folks, almost on a daily basis, I ask the Holy Spirit to pray for me. Almost on a daily basis, I say, Lord, I've got problems, I've got cares, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray for my family many times. They've got problems they're dealing with. We've got sick grandkids, things going on. We've got a crazy Caleb. And I don't know how to pray for all these people. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Step in. By the way, the Holy Spirit's there to do that for us. He's our intercessor. He will pray for us. And He'll pray for the needs that we have in our family. And by the way, He's better at praying than I am. He knows better about what's going on in each one of their lives than I do. He knows more about their pains than I do. He's there, the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our strengthener. He's there to strengthen us and give us the strength to go through the problems. Look back here in John chapter 14. I want you to notice what it says here in verse 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for a little while. Oh no. Forever. All these folks that believe they can lose their salvation, where are you? Because this is an assurance verse. When you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God come into your life. And he takes his dwelling, his home, makes his home in your heart. And when he comes in to stay. He's not going to forsake you. He's there forever. I've got a God that's the God of all comfort.
Amen.
God the Father with his everlasting arms, they're eternal. They're always going to be there. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Boy, there's no better arms to lean on. I have the Son, who's the master of the storm, the dispenser of grace, who's always there. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there. I have the Comforter, who's the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God came into my heart the moment I got saved. I got saved at the age of 8. And when I got saved and asked Jesus to come into my heart, the Holy Spirit of God came in. And when the Holy Spirit of God came into my life, he's there to stay forever. The God of all comfort. Now, when the trials of life come, and they will, remember, the God of all comfort is there. And he's there for a reason, to help. Look, if you will, back here in Hebrews. We're almost done. We're almost done. Now, I told you I wasn't going to preach a long time. But I'm not really done yet, so don't get your hopes up. But Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Notice what it says down here in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Who's the dispenser of grace?
Jesus.
Jesus, yeah. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to, what's that next word? Help in time of need. Because we have the God of all comfort, we can come to the throne of grace and we can find the help that we need there at the throne of grace. Think of all the people in the world. All those people that they have the promises from the Word of God and they ignore it and reject it. They'll never know what it is to find that help at the throne of grace. Think of the Christians that never pray. Oh, they pray every now and then and they'll sneak a prayer in just before they eat. And they certainly, at the restaurant, they try to really sneak that prayer in because they don't want anybody to see it or hear it. Think about all those Christians that miss out on the promises of God because they haven't been to the throne of grace in years. And they're not finding the help that they need. Oh, help me, help me, help me. Well, here's the help you need. It's from the God of all comfort. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's stand very quietly. Our precious Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had to be in your house. I pray, dear God, you'd do a work right now in our midst. Lord, we believe the Bible, but so many times that we ignore the truth of the Bible. I ask, dear God, that you'd help us to receive the truth from the Bible tonight and trust the God of all comfort. Stop trying to carry everything on our shoulders, but give it to the God of all comfort. He has the everlasting arms. And they're the arms that are eternal, that will never wear out, and he can carry our load. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, I pray that we'd bring our cares, our burdens, our illnesses, whatever else we have, our financial problems. I pray that we'd bring them to the altar and give them to you. And those that are here that are lost without Christ, I pray that today would be the day of salvation when they come to the master of the storm, the dispenser of grace, and they ask for the grace that saves. For by grace are you saved through faith. I pray that they'd be saved tonight. Leave here rejoicing in that salvation. Please do a work, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, do a work, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Preacher.
Praise the Lord. Our altars are open. Let's sing 308. And if you need to meet with the Lord, please do that. If you need salvation, we'll come get our attention. Again, have someone show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow.